Tough watching college ball. These refs don't let anyone play.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by BasketballMonster.com. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at RedRock_Beeball. Again, a happy Thanksgiving to all of you guys in the United States. I'm not sure when you're going to listen to this podcast. It will be released on Thanksgiving night, on Thursday night, in preparation for Friday's 10-game NBA slate for DFS. So again, I hope either you're having a happy Thanksgiving or you did have a happy Thanksgiving yesterday, depending on when you listen to this podcast. And for everyone else in the world, I hope it was a good Thursday/Friday. We're going to talk about all 10 games, preview them for DFS, and hopefully allow you guys to win some money. So
let's get to it.
Don't forget to check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network as well, where you can find a podcast for your team every day right across the NBA landscape. Of course, a show for every single team. You can find the in-depth knowledge on those teams by listening to those individual podcasts. We have got 10 games on. One of them is an early game, so check your contests to see whether this game is going to be included, and that is the first game we're going to look at, and that is Portland and Brooklyn. I know on the Aussie sites, this game is not included because I think it tips off at 4 a.m. here, so that won't be included, but it is as part of contests on both FanDuel and DraftKings. So just, again, be aware to check whether this is actually involved in the contest that you are participating in. The only injury status we need to pay attention to in this one is Trevor Booker of the Brooklyn Nets, who missed the last game with an ankle injury, missed half of the previous game with an ankle injury. In his absence, Tyler Zeller started and played 20-odd minutes. Jarrett Allen got 18 minutes, and Quincy Acey got 20-plus minutes there. So I guess there is some GPP value in looking at maybe Zeller, maybe Allen, who's got that ability to put up blocks in big bunches. Acey, probably not so much, but those guys are not going to be high-priority sort of players to look at. At point guard in this one, I really do like Shabazz Napier. He is at $4,000. He's been hitting his value pretty consistently recently, dropped 27 in the last game, and at $4,000, when he is getting 25 to 27 minutes a night, and he's going at just a little bit under a point per minute, you feel pretty good about him at least getting the 20 points and probably pushing up to around 24 to 25, which is a good number at $4,000. You've got Dame Lillard, of course, at $8,700. A really good matchup for point guards going up against the Nets. It's a decent price, though, for Lillard. So I guess it depends on what contest you're playing. If it's an all-day contest, you're probably going to be able to find better options than Lillard. But if it's an early, you know, four-game slate or something like that, $8,700 for Lillard, you feel pretty good about him getting over 40 points, which is not far away from where he needs to be at that sort of price. Spencer Dinwiddie, I feel like he's probably just a little bit too high, $7,600. The Blazers have been quite good at restricting opposition point guards this season, and Dinwiddie is clearly an opposition point guard. He only had 27 points in the game against the Cavs. He'd been putting up some big numbers before that, but I just feel that price is maybe a little bit too inflated. At shooting guard, CJ McCollum was an absolute turd in the last game. 11 points only. I think 1 of 14 shooting. He is at $7,000, though. I don't think he's going to go 1 of 14 from the field. I'm feeling pretty good that he's going to bounce back here and at least be able to get you 33, 34 points, which at $7,000 gives him a pretty decent floor for cash. I'm all about getting back on CJ McCollum. Caris LeVert's been showing a bit, 25 points in the last one, 24-point average across the last three, and at $4,600, that's sort of where he needs to be. I just don't feel confident in the minutes. I like what he's doing. I like his ability to put up stats, but 22 minutes, not quite there with LeVert at this point. Connaughton, sexy boy, Sean Kilpatrick. Nah, I don't think we're looking at those guys. At small forward, I think you do have to pay attention to Jumpin' Joe Harris. He dropped 36 against the Cavs, and he's got the opportunity. Like LeVert, he's got that 24 to 25 minute role on this team, but you're paying $1,100 less, and he's one of those guys who can get hot and hit five or six triples and really bring home that $3,500. If he gets 20 points, then the value is already there for Joe Harris. So he does have some value, and I actually feel not too bad about him in cash, just a cheap guy to really help get those other big names into your lineup, and he's also got some upside for tournaments. Evan Turner played big minutes in the last one, but that was mainly so he could guard Benny Simmons. He's at 3,500, and prior to that, his numbers had been really, really poor, so I'm not really feeling too much there. While the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, 5,600 for him. The numbers have been okay for Crabb. I don't feel totally fantastic about his floor, but he does have that decent upside. While Damari Carroll at 5,800 has been, again, just okay. Nothing that really stands out as being spectacular there. While the opposite of spectacular would be the way to describe Mo Harkless's season. At power forward, Trevor Booker's at 5,400. Not really feeling that. Injury concern. The Blazers have been difficult to play against for centers. I think I'll pass there. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson has been really, really good, really consistent, but at 7,200, he's not that consistent. He's a 31, 32 point sort of a player, I believe, not a 36, 37 sort of a guy. So I think that's probably just a little bit too high for Rondae. Noah Vonleh's at 4,100. Big game the other day, 42 points, backed it up with a 19 pointer. And that's the problem with Vonleh, is does he get enough minutes to be that impactful guy? And in most cases, the answer is going to be no. So not interested there. Same with Ed Davis or Quincy Acey. At center, the interesting guy here, of course, is Yusuf Nurkic, who's down to $7,000, and rightfully so. He's averaged just under 25 points across the last five games. But if we've seen anything this season, it's that big men against the Nets can just bludgeon them. And Nurkic has got 50-point upside here, so I absolutely love it for tournaments. For cash, I'm not quite there, but if there's going to be any situation I'm going to use in Yusuf Nurkic for cash, this is going to be it. We've seen plenty of teams really put up big numbers, big men-wise, against this Nets team. Derek Favors went bananas. Someone else, every team has pretty much gone. That was terrible. And Nick Vucevic destroyed this team multiple times. Plenty of big men have gone off, and Nurk has got that 50-point upside, so I do really like him for tournaments. Jarrett Allen at 31 is an upside-ish sort of guy. If Trevor Booker is out, he had 16 points, and at 3,100, it's not far off where you need to be. Clearly not relying upon him as a cash option, though. Let's have a look now on DraftKings at how I see this one shaking out. For tournaments, I like jumping Joe Harris at 3,500 in the blue swimmer at 48. That's Alan Crabb. And for cash, it's Dame Lillard at 88. Nurkic at 65. Really like that as well for cash on DraftKings. And Shabazz Napier at 3,700. I think he's a sensational price. Over on DraftKings, of course, you can go with CJ McCollum, but he's at 7,200, so some of that value is lessened with that extra salary that he's taking on over on DraftKings. The next game is part of the main slate, Orlando and Boston. I need to have a drink. That's better. Orlando and Boston. The Celtics are favored by 8.5 points, and the total here is 208. John Isaac is listed as out on the Magic game notes. Those aren't always 100% accurate, so we've got him as doubtful at this point, but I think you have to assume that Isaac, and that's what doubtful means, you're just assuming that he's not going to play. In the last game, his minutes went to both Aaron Aflalo and Mo Spates. Spates is that guy who can heat up, and you can look at him as a GPP guy, but that's really, really about it. At point guard, Lord Alfred Payton, big game in the last one, 42 points. He's at 6,200 on FanDuel, so a very, very nice price. I don't feel fully invested in him, especially against the Celtics defense. It's been quite good. Marcus Smart, we know what he can do. Kyrie Irving's increased attention to defense. But Payton has got that 45, 50-point upside, which makes him an interesting tournament play at that cheaper price. We've got Rozier at 3,500, which I don't care for. And then Kyrie's at 8,500, which I do care for. I think that he is a really strong tournament play, again, with that 50, 60-point upside. But maybe for cash, it's not quite at a solid enough floor. But I don't hate it. His minimum score over his last five games has been 36 points, which is a pretty decent floor for 8,500. At shooting guard, Marcus Smart's at 5,300. We've seen him be able to put up decent lines without the shooting. And if the shot falls in any game, he's going to smash that value. And that makes him always worth a GPP look. If he comes out and shoots 55% from the field in one game, he could have 17, 7, and 7 with three steals. And that's going to break through that number really, really comfortably. But you can't rely upon the shooting with Marcus Smart, which makes him a tough guy to use in cash. Terry Rice had a big game in the last one. That's probably going to be his last big game for the 2017 calendar year, so I'm not really feeling too much about him. And at small forward, we go to Evan Fournier, who's been consistent, but not consistently high enough. He's at 6,000, but his highest score in his last five games is only 29 points. Doesn't work for me there. Fournier, John Simmons at 4,500. You can do a lot better with your 4,500 than use it on him. Well, Jaylen Brown is at 6,700. And while we all like Jaylen Brown, that price is too expensive. He's averaging under 30 points across the last three, just 32 across his last five. He goes up and down with his numbers. I just don't see the value in 6,700 there. At power forward, we've got Jason Tatum at 5,800. Totally in on that. This guy's averaging 32 over the last five. So the same prices, or the same average over his last five games as Jaylen Brown, but you're spending $1,000 less. So that, to me, makes him much more of a no-brainer. And then you got Az Gordon, who he's going to be matched up against for some of the time. 7,400 for Aaron Gordon. He's averaging just 30 over the last five. Now, he put up a big one in his last performance, 43 points. He's got a decent record against Boston, but I'm not totally ready to go all in on him. He'd be more of a tournament guy, if anything. Marcus Morris is going to sit out one of these weekend games. We don't know if it's Friday or Saturday. He's at 4,900. Even if he doesn't sit out, he'll be on a minutes restriction, and he's not very good, so I'm not interested in him. While Al Horford at 6,900.
Giggity!
Yeah, I think that's good against Nick Vucevic. I think that there is clear 35-point upside here for Horford, so I'm fine with him. Whereas for Vuce at 7,800, that's a $200 price rise from his last game. That would leave me out on him, especially with Horford being as good a defender as he is. I'm not interested in using Nick Vucevic in this matchup. Over on DraftKings, tournament-wise, I like Kyrie at 83, I like Az Gordon at 65, much better price for Aaron Gordon on DraftKings and FanDuel, and Lord Alfred Payton at 5,700 is just really, really enticing me. I think it's still more tournaments, but that's really getting close to cash value there for Payton. For cash, Vucevic at 6,600 is a sensational play on DraftKings, as opposed to him being a fade on FanDuel. And then you got Jason Tatum, who is at 5,700 as well. And of course, Marcus Smart, you can still look at him as that GPP option, much like I described on FanDuel. He's at 5,100 over on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game now. We're talking about the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks. The Knicks are favored by 2, and the total is 208 points here. Mike Muscala and Luke Babbitt for the Hawks are both questionable, and obviously their absences will enable many more minutes for John the Baptist Collins, and then also more minutes for The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. So they are interesting situations we do need to pay attention to. I still believe there is a 50-50 chance that the Baptist will start, even if Babbitt is healthy. But if Babbitt is out, then Collins will almost definitely start. He played 37 minutes in the last game, 36 minutes in the game prior to that. Actually, those numbers might be off. I think it might have even been 37 and 38. He played big minutes in those games with Babbitt ailing and Babbitt out. So I think that he will stick. He played well in that role. Foul trouble is always an issue, but if we get confirmation that both Muscala and Babbitt are out, that really does raise the floor on what the Baptists can do. At point guard, Dennis Schroeder, 7,400. Totally in on him. I don't think Jarrett Jack's got really the speed or anything to really combat him. And we've seen Frankie Ntilikina have his minutes limited due to a recent illness. And he's a guy that can defend a guy like Schroeder pretty well. He's just not playing enough. So I think that Schroeder's going to be able to have his way with Jack here. I like him at 7,400. Malcolm Delaney's at 3,200 for a significant reason. He's not good. And Jarrett Jack is at 4,400, who's getting the minutes, but the production does not justify that sort of salary. And Frank Ntilikina at 37, really hard to go at him when he's averaging just 5 points across his last three games. At shooting guard, Marco Bellinelli's at 4,400. He is putting up numbers pretty consistently. He had 32 in his last game. It's an okay matchup for him here. I would look more as a tournament guy for Bally, who can get hot and drop 22, 23 points, have 3-4 assists, and get a couple of steals, and that can push him into that 30-point stratosphere. Kent Bazemore at 5,300. Yeah, he's all right. I feel like he's more of a 4,700 guy than a 5,300 guy. He's got some upside. And if you want to go revenge games, it's all about Tim Hardaway Jr. at 6,600. He dropped the casual 60 in the last game. I like him here. It's a really, really good matchup for him going up against the Hawks. He's been in very, very good form, averaging 43 across his last five games. Totally in on him in cash and in tournaments. At small forward, we've got Courtney Lee at 5,200, one of the best lock cash guys around. Great matchup. He's averaging 29 points across his last five. He dropped 40 in the last game. You feel like you're getting 27 out of him every single time that he is out there, and that's perfect for cash. And he's got a decent level of tournament upside. The artist formerly known as Taurean Prince is at 5,800. His numbers have struggled a little bit lately, but I'm in on him in a tournament here. We've seen him have these poor games and then bounce back with some decent performances. He's got 45 point upside. So I'm all about getting formally in at 5,800. Doug McDirt at 3,400. Well, you pretty much know what I'm going to say there. At power forward, the Baptist, 5,700. Just the casual 41 for him in the last game. Really, he gets his floor solidified by the absence of Babbitt. So you would smash the shit out of him in a cash game in that case. But the problem here is if Babbitt plays, there is a level of uncertainty. And the fact is that he will have to try and guard either Kristaps Porzingis or Enes Kanter, two guys who are very, very good offensively. And that could really get him into some foul trouble. Now, I'm not saying he's an auto fade, because at 5,700, it's a really good price, and I would still probably go for him. But there is an element of risk in this matchup for the Baptist, and that's not something that can be 100% ignored. As for Porzingis, he is at 9,300.
Porzingis.
He's been all right, but hasn't been at that level. In fact, just once out of the last six games has he gotten to 5x value at that sort of salary. This is an opportunity for him, of course, against this Hawks team, but he's more of a GPP sort of a guy. While Lukey Babbitt at 35, I wouldn't feel great about going there. At center, The Undertaker, 5,500. He's been putting up big numbers. I'd probably look more, again, tournament there for him, just in case the presence of Babbitt pushes Collins back to center and limits what Undertaker can do. He's got some big numbers recently, though, and he is averaging 29 over his last five. So if you used him in cash, I don't think it would be an incorrect decision. Well, Enes Kanter has played over 30 minutes in two consecutive games. He's at 6,400, and I'm not really sure that the Hawks' offense is going to put him in a position where he's not going to be able to see the court. 6,400, though, is a fair whack for Enes Kanter, so I'm not totally loving that for cash, and I'm not sure his upside's high enough to be considered a great tournament play. Over on DraftKings, there's quite a lot of options here. Yeah, Porzingis at 8,900 on DraftKings is worth a look, and then there's a bunch of guys I like for cash. There's Timmy Hardaway. There's the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince. There's The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. There's Courtney Lee. There's Dennis Schroeder. There's Marco Bellinelli. And, of course, there's the Baptist, who I don't even give a shit if he gets into foul trouble. At 4,800 on DraftKings, that he should be in every single one of your cash lineups. Now, maybe in tournaments you would fade him just because he's going to be real chalk. But at 4,800, I don't think you can avoid... You can't not have him in a lineup at 4,800. I don't think you can. At that sort of price, it's just crazy. And he is going to be a real staple of cash lineups over on DraftKings. Let's have a look at the next game now. Who have we got? The Toronto Raptors and the Indiana Pacers. The Raptors are favored by one, and the total is 216.5. Miles Turner is probable with an ankle problem. He should be okay to go, but there might be some limitations on what he's able to do just in terms of effectiveness, so that is something to bear in mind. At point guard, revenge game for Corey Joseph. Let's see how that one pans out. 4,400 for Joseph. He has had some okay games this year. In fact, in the last five, he did have a 27-pointer, which would clearly bring back value at 4,400. Maybe you'd look at him as a tournament guy, but I probably wouldn't. You got Daz Collison at 5,900, who's been putting up some decently consistent numbers. I don't think his tournament upside is all that high, but I think for cash, you should feel pretty good about Daz in this one. Freddie VanVleet at 3,700, a tournament play with his ability to hit threes, while I really do like Kyle Lowry at 8,000. He dropped 49 in his last game. He's averaging 41 across the last five. It's an up-tempo game against a Pacers team whose defense is not sensational. So I think that Lowry for 40 points is a real solid bet. At shooting guard, Vic Oladipo killing at 8,300 for Vic. He had 73 in his last game against the Magic, averaging 46 across the last five. The Raptors have allowed shooting guards to go put up some big numbers this year. I'm in on Oladipo, even though it's at 8,300. In fact, I would take him over DeMar DeRozan, who's priced up very highly, $9,000 for DeRozan. And I like DeRozan. That's just too high for me, so I won't be going there. Normie Powell at 3,800 had a nice 20-point game in his return off the bench, but those limited minutes and limited upside make him hard to use for cash and for tournaments. At small forward, it's Lance Stephenson. Cool. Bojan Bogdanovic at 4,900. He's been putting up really strong numbers, Bojan. I'm leaning more towards being able to trust him in cash, but I'm not fully there. And on this sort of a slate, I think there are going to be better options. And I hate the fact that he's risen up by $700 on FanDuel. So that leans me away there. Same with CJ Miles. Not interested. Well, the Jedi, OG Anunoby, he might start again, but he's averaging a robust 9 points in his last three games and 11 points over the last five. And even at 3,400, that is not cutting it. At power forward, Pascal Siakam really playing well. He's at 4,600. I'm not really ready to endorse him as a cash play yet, but in a good matchup with his form rising, with his minutes rising, he does have some 30-point upside here, which is an interesting guy to put into your player pool. Serge Ibaka is at 4,900. He's been fairly putrid lately, but he is a guy that can go off. But if we remember the last game, he had four blocks and still only totaled under 25 points, which is just at 5x value. So I'm not really sure his upside's there. Domantas Sabonis is at 50. What a world we live in where Domantas Sabonis is priced higher as a backup than what Serge Ibaka is as a center. And he was traded for Ibaka before at the draft last season. Just craziness. I wouldn't be using Sabonis at 5,100. His minutes have been really low 20s for the last couple of games, and his output has been muted. Thaddeus Young, $6,000. Yeah, I think 30 points for Thaddeus is a reasonable expectation, so I like that as a cash option. At center, Miles Turner, 7,700. No, if I'm going to do anything with Turner, it's going to be tournaments, but that's really about it. Well, Jonas Valanciunas at 4,500. I cannot trust that he is going to get 20 minutes, so therefore that is a no from me. Poeltl and Noguera, no thanks for either of those guys. Let's have a look how this one shakes out over on DraftKings for tournaments. I think you've got Miles Turner at 6,700. You've got Corey Joseph at 3,600, which is a very, very cheap price. He gets you 22 points. It's value you already smashed through there. And Siakam at 38, which I love, and I'd even consider Siakam maybe as a cash option. For cash, it's Lowry at 81, Oladipo at 8,000, and Bojan Bogdanovic at 4,500. Really do like Bojan at 4,500, especially considering DraftKings has the 3-point bonus, which really does help what Bogdanovic can do. All right, let's move on to the next one. It is the Miami Heat. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves are favored by 4, and the total is 207.5 points here. At point guard, it's the iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, who had 39 points in the last one. He's got a really good record against Minnesota. Minnesota this season have allowed point guards to put up some above average numbers. So I like Dragic here. I think he's a strong, strong cash play. Tyler Johnson at 44 is more a tournament guy because his minutes could go from 30 to 21. So not easy to rely upon him. Whereas,
my name is Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Teague's at 6,900. He dropped 50 in the last game. I really like him here at this price. He's getting his shots off, much to my chagrin, but he's getting them off. He's getting some assists up, so I'm all about using Jeff Teague here. At shooting guard, Dion Waiters is at 5,500. More of a tournament guy than anything. Big game in the last one for the Heat against the Celtics in that huge win, but I'm not ready to label him as a cash guy. Whereas Andrew Wiggins, Drewy, Wigo, 6,100 for Wigo, putting up some okay-ish type numbers, but not quite at $6,100 level. He's more of a tournament guy, but I am happy that his price has come down. That does make him more interesting. The Wolves bench guys like Jamal Crawford, you've got no hope of using them. While the Duke, Wayne Ellington at 3,300, more of a DraftKings type of guy because of his 3-point bonus, but averaging 17 across the last three where he's played 23 minutes a game, at 3,300, he has some GPP upside. Go and hit your 6 or 7 triples. He had a 26-point game mixed in there. At 3,300, yeah, he does have some tournament upside. At small forward, Joshy Richardson has been abominable recently. He's down to 4,400, so it's an okay price, but only you want to look at him in tournaments. Well, Jim Butler at 82, 50-point upside quite clearly, 55-point upside, but I don't feel great about his floor, so not a cash play here. Justice Winslow's been starting. He's at 4,200, but he's just not an accumulator of fantasy numbers. At power forward, Taj Gibson at 51. I feel strongly about that for cash. I think Taj is getting 26 pretty much every time he rolls out there, so I feel good about that in a positive matchup. While Jimmy Johnson at 5,500. I'm not going to play the song because he hasn't been making us proud lately. He's averaging just 18 points over the last five. He's always got that ability, but this is a difficult-ish type matchup for power forwards. His minutes have been squished with the introduction of Justice Winslow into the starting lineup, and I'm not interested in using him here. Kelly Olynyk, 3,300 for Olynyk. Probably not, but nah, we'll leave him alone. At center, Karl Anthony Towns, 9,300. The usage has been a real concern for Towns recently, averaging just 37 points over the last five. To me, he is a fade going up against Hassan Whiteside. But on the flip side, Whiteside at 8,800. We've seen centers go bananas against Towns and the Wolves. He has got a great record against Towns. He's averaging 51.5 points the last three times up against Minnesota. I think a 50-point outburst from Whiteside is not something that should be considered unexpected. So I think he's a really, really strong option here against Minnesota. on DraftKings. Not many GPP guys on DraftKings here in this one. I guess you could include the Duke Wayne Ellington at 3,400. He's got some GPP upside, but then there's a bunch of guys I do like for cash. Taj Gibson at 5,100, Goran Dragic at 6,700, the Iron Shoulder, Karl Anthony Towns at 8,700, much better price on DraftKings, and that takes him into the consideration. Tyler Johnson at 4,000, again, the price just makes him more reliable on DraftKings. Jeffy Teague at 64, and Jim Butler at 6,800 with a $600 price drop. I love that for Butler. 6,800 is stupid low, so that is a real, real guy to significantly target, I think, on DraftKings at that sort of a price tag. Detroit and Oklahoma City. It's been a few days since we've seen Detroit play. The tackle box, John Lua, is doubtful with his ankle issue. So that's going to open up more of those minutes for Eric Morland. That's going to mean jack shit for DFS. At point guard, Russ Westbrook's at 10-6. He appears back in on him. Cash tournaments. Totally. Yep. Love that. Love that. Fat Face Ray Felton at 31. Probably not, mate. Well, Ish Smith at 3,600. That's also a probably not. Now, 5,900 for Reg Jackson. He is in a revenge game situation. How long does bad blood continue? Because we know that these two teams, we know that him and this organization hate each other. We know that. How long does this bad blood continue? Over the last three times he's played against the Thunder, he's averaged 29 points. That's not good, is it? That's not anything. At 5,900, that's right on 5x value. Can he get you 29 points here? Sure. So I think he's an okay guy to look at, but I don't think he's a super high, crazy high upside player. At shooting guard, Andre Robertson is at 3,600. There's just no upside there. While Avery Bradley at 5,700. I wouldn't hate throwing Bradley into a tournament to get you 38, 39, but he has been a little bit underwhelming, averaging only 21 points across his last three outings. Luke Kennard is at 3,000, and his minutes are a bit squeezed at the moment. At small forwards, Dan Johnson, 3,900. Minutes are fine, production is not, whereas Paul George at 8,700, production is fantastic, averaging 48 across his last three, 44 across his last five. I think he's more of a tournament type of a guy, because he can have those real weird turd games in there. And at that price for cash, if it was 8,000, I'd be, yep, smash that for cash, that's perfect. But at 8,700, probably more of a tournament sort of guy with that marginal bust potential. On the other hand, Carmelo Anthony's at 6,900.
Giggity!
So, you know, I like using him for cash as well. I think he's got, you know, solid 33-point floor, which is really, really good at that sort of a salary with 45-point upside. So I do like Melo here at that sort of a salary. Toby Harris at 6,600. I'd spend the extra 300 and take Melo every day of the week. Toby's been really good, fantastic for the Pistons, but for DFS, he hasn't been awesome, averaging just 28 over the last five, which is just not enough at that salary. Jeremy Grant's numbers have dropped. Eric Morland, Pat Patterson, Anthony Tolliver, none of those guys have really much in terms of GPP upside. At center, Steve Adams, 6,200. It's not a bad price for Adams, but I don't really see the upside there for Steve-O. I don't really see a great solid floor. So to me, he's not someone I'm interested in. Whereas Andre Drummond at $9,000. We love what Drummond's been doing, but that's too expensive in what is considered a negative matchup against Steve Adams. Let's have a look at this on DraftKings. For tournaments, it's George at 8,500. And for cash, I like Mallow at 6,900. I like Russ at 10,600. And the big difference here between both DraftKings and FanDuel is that Steve Adams is at 5,200. And I love that at 5,200. I didn't like him at 6,200 on FanDuel, but at 5,200 on DraftKings, bang, double bonuses, $1,000 cheaper. You're totally all over that at 5,200. So the site you play on does make a significant difference as to how players will be looked at and how they will perform for DFS, clearly. Let's look at the next game. It's the Charlotte Hornets taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. No spread out for this one because we don't know the status of Nick Batum. The Hornets have officially listed him as questionable after leaving the last game with a left elbow contusion. I was shit scared, to be honest. It was sort of a weird injury that the Hornets announced at halftime. Oh, he's just not returning with an elbow contusion. Yeah, I mean, that's not good. It's the same elbow that caused him to miss the start of the season with that strain. The reports after the game were not encouraging. This could be smokescreen. You remember that the Milwaukee Bucks listed Jabari Parker as questionable with a knee sprain. And then 3 days later, oh, by the way, torn ACL. We've seen that happen numerous times. So don't think that the questionable tag here means everything is fantastic. It's a positive sign, absolutely. And Batum himself said that he doesn't think it's that serious. But I think that if we expect him to play in this game, I'm fairly certain that he won't. But I don't know that at this point. Of course, if he is out, then Jeremy Lamb gets a massive, massive green light. At point guard, Kemba's at 8,200. Point guards against the Cavs, it's generally a pretty good time, and Kemba's a pretty good point guard. So we're all aboard using him. Jose Calderon's at 4,200. Nah, man. 4,200 for Jose, not a single chance. Michael Carter-Williams at 3,300, also not interested. Although Carter-Williams, I believe, did have an almost quadruple-double against the Cavs in his first game. I think it was the Cavs, or was it the Heat? Someone needs to fact-check me on that. At shooting guard, Kyle Korver, 3,800. He is a tournament upside guy, 30-point upside. No way you want to use him in cash at this point. Batum at 65, well, no, of course not. And the plumber, J.R. Smith, always a tournament guy, but I would rather go 300 less and use Korver than spend 4,100 on the plumber. Dwayne Wade at $6,000. I think that 30 points for Wade, given the current state of the backcourt for Cleveland, is a reasonable expectation. So actually, this is one of the only times I'm going to say I like Dwayne Wade here for cash. And Jez Lamb, 5,500. I'd smash the absolute shit out of that. If Batum is out at 5,500, he becomes almost the first guy you lock into your cash lineups. Him and the Baptist on DraftKings especially. But at 5,500 for Jez Lamb, that is fantastic. Really, really superb pot price if Batum is out. If Batum is in, I'm probably not going to look at it that highly. At small forward, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Many people, man, if Batum's out, does Kidd-Gilchrist get a bump? I don't really think that he's just going to all of a sudden take on Batum's playmaking ability and shot creation. He's just going to do what he does. His minutes will be at 30, 31. He'll get the occasional rebound and block and steal, and he'll rebound the ball. I don't think too much changes. Now, in the last game, he had 30 points. He played 36 minutes. It was a decent outing. So I guess you could say he's got a level of upside, but I don't think he's all of a sudden transforming into Nick Batum just because Batum is going to be out. LeBronald crushes this team on the regular. 11,900 for LeBron.
LeBron James.
So, yeah. That's the guy you want. You know, pair him with some of your cheaper options, but he's a really strong option here. If Batum is out, the Baconator Dwayne Bacon at $3,000, maybe, probably not, but maybe. He might be able to get 20 points in a situation where Batum is out, but I'd say that's probably stretching it. At power forward, Marvin Williams at 4,400, I just don't see any appeal there whatsoever, while Jay Crowder at 44, very much the same. Frank the Tank's at 4,100. He had a 31-pointer recently, but it's just not happening for him this season in his third year. At center, Cody's Allen up. Kevin Love, 7,900 for Lovey. I think that's probably just a little bit too high for Kev. In a tournament, sure, but I'm not interested in that in cash. Well, Dwight Howard at 7,600. He is just killing it at the moment, averaging 49 across his last three games. I feel okay about Dwight. I wouldn't be locking him in as a cash center here, but I think that you could use him at 7,600 and have a decent level of confidence of him getting to 40 points. He has been playing really, really well so far this season. Over on DraftKings, for tournaments, it's Korver at 36, Marv Williams at 38. He's got that 28-point upside, which at 3,800 makes him worthy of looking at it in a tournament. And Kidd-Gilchrist, I know I just shit on him, but at $4,000 on DraftKings, that's a significant difference in price. We're talking $1,100 cheaper. And at $4,000, I feel pretty good about him getting to 21 or 22 points, which is that's as a floor. And then if he gets to 37, which he had a couple of days ago, I mean, that's huge, huge value. So I like him much more on DraftKings. For cash, it's Kemba at 82. It's Dwight at 7,000, which is really good. It's Dwayne Wade at 52, which is really good. And then it's LeBron at 11,200, which I also think is a pretty strong option over on DraftKings. The DraftKings pricing is way less tighter, and I guess that word would be looser, than compared to FanDuel. So there are a lot more guys that appear valuable. Memphis and Denver, the Nuggets are favored by 6, and the total is 208.5 points. Wayne Seldon and Brandon Wright have both been ruled out over on the Memphis Grizzlies game notes. Sometimes they are wrong, but at this point, we assume that both Seldo and Brando won't be ready to go. So that's going to open up minutes for Deontay Davis as the backup center, who put up a real big game in the last one. We'll talk about him in a second. At point guard, Mario Chalmers at 6,100. I really like that for cash. It does have tournament upside as well. Whereas Manny Moutier at 3,800, yeah, probably not for him. While the Blue Arrow at 55, a weird 24 minutes a game for the last three games. And with the backcourt healthy, we're seeing him be limited. So sure, in a tournament, he's got 40-point upside, but I don't really feel great about the Blue Arrow in this situation. Farton Will Barton at 6,400, I would imagine that he would go in and start again. So it's Starton, Farton, Will Barton at 6,400. He put up 42 points in that last game for the Nuggets. Yeah, love him. Love him at this event. And I don't love him as a player. You know, I don't really think he's a good player, but I'm happy. I have been proven wrong on Will Barton. He has been better than I anticipated. I still don't think he's a great player. I still think he's got a little bit of an aggressive chuckers mentality, but he's improved out of sight. And I was wrong on him. I thought he was just absolutely trash, but he's clearly not. At shooting guard, Gaz Harris, 5,900.
Nice, Gary!
No, not that nice. I don't think we'll use him. While Tyreek's at 7,300, he is just continuing to put up numbers in a decently paced game for him. I think he is not bad for cash, but there are better options around. At small forward, Brooksy, Dylan Brooks, 4,200. The minutes are there. The production just isn't quite, so maybe you could take a flyer, but I'm not really feeling too much there. While Chandler Parsons at 42, probably end up fading that. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler, 5,800. The role is there. Will the production be there? I'm not sure. Tournament only for Chandler. I don't really feel too good about him in a cash game. Or Juancho Hernan Gomez at 3,600. Is he worth a squiz getting some of those extra power forward minutes? At 36, if he's at 3,000, I'd say yeah. But only in a tournament, and the Grizzlies probably not the greatest matchup for him. At power forward, Jermichael Green's at 5,400. The minutes have been trending in the right direction, but I just think his upside is so low and his floor is not that high, so that's a pretty shitful combination. Trey Lyles at 38, much like Juancho, tournament option if he gets, you know, 24 minutes a night. He could easily break through that 3,800 price barrier, but I don't feel good about it. Nikola Jokic, 9,200. Love Yoke. But Marc Gasol, it's a bad spot, man. So that's fading of Jokic for me. Mason Plumlee at 44, he should get 20 minutes against his team, especially with Paulie Millsap out. At 4,400, though, it takes away a lot of his upside, so I'm not really keen. While Marc Gasol, 8,500, all in. Good matchup against Jokic. A lot of the offensive stress gets pushed onto him. He's going to be able to go, you know, triple-double-ish type of numbers. I think I do really like him. But the other guy I want to look at is Deontay Davis. Minimum salary, 28 points in the last game in only 15 minutes. One of the, not better, but one of the really strong GPP options, I believe, on this slate for that, you know, huge, huge upside, like 9x type upside that you can get out of a guy like Deontay Davis, which it's not easy to find that sort of an upside for a player who can come in. And he could theoretically do more than what he did in that last game by coming out and having, you know, 5 blocks or something along those lines, because he is a guy that can block shots in pretty high bunches. And that would make him someone, for DFS, you would have to pay a decent level of attention to him just because of that upside. Let's have a look over now on this one for DraftKings. For tournaments, it's Lyles at 3,200. It's Davis at 3,000. Of course, we look at him there. And then for cash, Baby Neck at 4,900. Marc Gasol at 79. Start and Farton, Will Barton at 6,000. Mario Chalmers at 53. Mason Plumlee. Now, the price again, the difference, 3,600 for Mason Plumlee. Count me in. All in on that. While Jermichael Green again, 4,300. In. Totally in on that price for cash for Jermichael Green. All right, let's swing that over to, where are we? Swing it over to the next game. That's the one we want to look at, of course. And that is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns. Jared Dudley was doubtful in the last game. He's questionable here. I think if we're going to lean any way that he probably won't play. Let's talk about the point guards. Oh, actually, the Pelicans are favored by 6, and the total is a massive, massive 229, the largest of the entire day. At point guard, Rajon Rondo, no way. Tyler Ulis, 4,400. He had 27 in that last game against the Bucks, the overtime game. I think he's got some GPP upside, but I'm not ready to lock him into cash by any stretch. Jameer Nelson, Mike James. No thanks for either of those guys. At shooting guard, Etuan Moore, who is now the starting small forward. He's at 4,400. He does have a decent level of tournament upside, but with the way that Darius Miller is playing, that is cutting into Moore's upside, so he is no go for me. While Drew Holiday at 6,400. Fantastic matchup for Drew here. Not ready to go in cash, but love him. Love him for tournaments. And Devin Booker at 72, I think, is a cash and a tournament play. At small forward, you've got Miller at 3,300, just hitting threes pretty much every single game. So I think he's got some 25-point upside here, which at 3,300 is a pretty good value play, whereas TJ Warren is more of a cash guy at 7,600, who is just going to shoulder all of the offensive load along with Devin Booker on most nights. Joshie Jackson, Dante Cunningham, Tone Allen, no real interest in any of them. Tone Davis at power forward, 11,300. You got to love this matchup for Davis against the Suns. Just all over this, really, really strongly feel you're good there. Well, Dragan Bender had 25 points in that game against the Bucks, played 34 minutes. He's at just $100 over minimum, 3,100. Could he have that sort of a game again? Sure. Do I feel good about it? No. So maybe in a tournament, but I don't even feel good about that. And if you want to talk about not feeling good, let's have a look at Marquise Chris's game. He had 2 points in the last one, 3,900 for Chris. He can always go out there and put up stats, as we've said so many times, but he's such a whiny little prick that it's just really hard to rely upon him in any sort of situation. So at 3,900, you can have your Marquise Chris. At center, well, who knows? I'll tell you what I do know. I know the Boogie Cousins is going to be an animal. He's at 11,400. Fine. The Phoenix centers, will Alex Len play? Will Greg Monro get 32 minutes? Because he's being showcased. Will Tyson Chandler play? Like, who knows what on earth is going to happen? So Greggy Monro, GPPs, 4,100, sure. But the complete disconnect in trying to work this stuff out is that when Chandler was out and the Suns had two centers, we had Monro and Len. And Monro would start and play 20 minutes, and Len would come in and play 28 minutes off the bench. So common sense, Monro would be shit in that time. And so common sense thinking would be, all right, well, we've got a third center into the mix. Monroe's playing only 20 minutes when starting when he's got only one person behind him. Now he's got two people behind him. So logic would say he either goes out of the starting lineup, which Chandler moved in, so that was fine, and he's going to struggle to play anywhere near as much as he did before. But logic doesn't apply to these NBA coaches, because then in that situation, after with two centers, he played 20 minutes. When there's three centers around, he played 32 minutes. Nobody can work any of this logic out. Alex Len went from putting up monster double-doubles to not playing at all. If Monro is going to be your second option, then surely... And if Monroe's your second option and Len's your third option, then surely when those two guys are playing together, your second option should play more. This is all just common sense logic. But that never applies to NBA coaches. So working out what Monro, Chandler, and Len are going to do, impossible. So you can't rely upon any of them for cash. Monro is a real GPP asset. I wouldn't be looking at Len, Chandler. Who bloody knows what any of these dickheads are going to do in terms of their coaching or their rotation? Because if you want to use logic, you can't. It just doesn't apply to some of these coaching decisions that get made. Rant over. Over on DraftKings, GPP, Darius Miller at 33. I don't really like a lot about this game, to be honest, on DraftKings. Tone Davis at 10-7 I do like, and Boog at 11-4 I do like, and Greggy Munro at 47. Again, the same sort of bullshit that I just talked about. Actually, I do like TJ Warren at 6,600. I think that's a really strong price over on DraftKings. Let's go on to the last day, or the last game of the day.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
If there's a game that you're going to fade for DFS, it's probably this one. The Chicago Bulls at the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are favored by a casual 19 points. The total is 216.5. David Nwaba is listed as out by the Bulls. Now, I guess there could be some value because good old flat track bully, junk time specialist, Punch Bob Shiploke could come in and get 28 minutes and chuck up a million shots in the final quarter because that's just what he does. Because teamwork... Nah, don't worry about that. Passing, what's this? Defense, what are you talking about? There's only one way to play. It's only go out there and just jack as many shots as possible. So he's an option in a GPP because this game will be a blowout and he is going to have that option. The other guy who could be in that is Antonio Blakeney, who hasn't met a shot that he doesn't like. So he could go out there and put up some numbers also. But the Warriors guys, they could play 27 minutes in this game. So it's really hard to rely upon them. Steph's at 10,000. No. Chrissy Dunn actually is someone that I would look at. He's at 6,200. And I feel pretty good about him getting at least 30 points. So he's someone I like. Blakeney at 3,000. Again, GPP, you can have a look. Shawnee Livingston, Jaron Grant. Nah, no way. Shooting guard, Klay Thompson. No. No, he's averaging only 28 points himself over the last three games. Plus the blowout opportunity here, just not interested at all. Justin Holiday, now he's down to 5,200 because he's bad, but he does have that Punch Bob Shiploke mentality of I'm going to jack shots as much as possible, and if they go in, then we're talking 35-pointer. So he does have some GPP upside here. Uncle P, Nick Young, maybe. Get us a blowout, get 22 minutes out of your Nick. Maybe he hits five threes. That could work. In $3,000, if you'd want to go really contrarian, that could work. So that's one to look at. At small forward, Iguodala at 38, no. Kevin Durant at 10-5. If there's any out of Durant, Green, Curry, and Thompson that I would use, KD would be the guy at 10,500, but I think you're looking at more a 35-pointer than a 55-pointer for Kevin here. Denzel Valentine at 51. I feel good about that price, actually. That's worth a look in both cash and tournaments. And then Omri Caspi, much like Uncle P, is definitely a guy that can come in. He's averaging weirdly 15 points over his last five games, which at 3,300 is not bad. He could easily drop a 20 here. I don't feel super good about that. Same with Paulie Zipser and Quincy Pondexter. At power forward, Draymond, no. Lauri Markkanen at 63. Big men go to die in Golden State, so no thanks. Dave West, Punch Bob, Shiplokes at 42. And that is a GPP option for Punch Bob there. There is some upside for him to come in the waning moments of the game and put up meaningless stats that make people go, Bob Portis is good, man. It's good. It's really good. He's going to come out there. It's going to be good. I'm telling you. And he's not. So that's an opportunity for that to happen. Chris Felizio at center, JaVale McGee, Zaza Pachulia. No thanks for any of those. While Bob Lopez at 4,700. No upside really for Lopez. Not a good floor. Centers against the Warriors. It's always a bad time, man. So that's a no from me. Over on DraftKings, Denzel Valentine at 54. More expensive on DraftKings, but he's got some tournament upside. Chrissy Dunn at 55. And then all those other guys, Portis, Blakeney, Holiday, you could consider at 5,600 for tournaments and tournaments only. All right, that brings us to the end of all of the games for a post-Thanksgiving Black Friday NBA day. 10 games on, one early game. Good luck with setting your lineups. Remember, if you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, go and leave a 5-star review. It's a great way of supporting the show. You can also find it on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify as well, and of course on YouTube where you can subscribe. Click that little bell so you get notifications when a new episode is out, and leave a comment and a thumbs up. It's a great way of helping the show get out to more people. Of course, don't forget to check out basketballmonster.com and the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Tobias Harris.